Welcome to the Hacking Happy Podcast. My name is Penny Lacaso, and I'm the world's first happiness hacker on a bold mission to teach 10 million women how to flourish on their terms by 2025. The Hacking Happy Podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. I'd like to pay my respects to their elders, past and present, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. It always was and always will be Aboriginal land. This podcast is designed to help you reignite your spark, supercharge your energy, and channel more of it towards injecting more joy, more presence, more calm, and more meaning into each day. If that sounds like something you could use a little more of, let's get started. Hello, beautiful happiness hackers, and welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy Podcast. There seems to be a bit of a pattern here. I seem to get all my creative ideas over the weekend, and so I found Sundays in the afternoon turn out to be a really good space to reconnect with you guys and share what's going on and how I would love to support you on this journey called life that we are on together. So let me start by giving you a little bit of an update on what's been happening and how that has inspired today's episode of the Hacking Happy Podcast. It's a new year, and I don't know about you, but I hit the ground running, full of amazing ideas for impact. The excitement around the Wonder Woman versus the Present Woman campaign that I have recently run online, many of you, I'm sure, if you're following me on socials, would have seen it, and the impact that that had with over 25 women joining me on the Present Woman Challenge was beautiful and exciting and obviously created a lot of momentum and also a bit of work to make it happen. There was also at the start of this year for me the anticipation of starting to study my honours in psych. So very fortunate, it is very hard to get into honours. You have to get insane marks, which I just find such an oxymoron because we have an industry that's starved for psychologists. So many people come to me for coaching that have struggled to get into a psychologist in a shorter wait period than 6 months, and yet we make it so damn hard for people to get through and become psychologists, and equally the process to do that, from what I'm observing in my experience and the way we teach people, it creates brilliant academic writers, but not so much people that are amazing at the human side of things, which is definitely a frustration of mine. So there was a lot of excitement with my little rant over about what is broken in psychology around starting honours this year, and equally continuing my journey of training to become a trauma healer with Dr. Gabor Maté, which has just been such a transformative experience. So a lot going on. And then last week had a bit of a spanner thrown in the works because the university that I was doing honours with came out and gave me a thesis topic that was not on my preference list, completely unrelated to my work. And I had to make a very challenging decision to withdraw from their program because there was no way I was going to study my psych honours and not be able to use my thesis material as a means to positively impact the lives of people like yourself. It's a bloody long road, and if I'm going to study at the age of 49, I'm going to study what I believe is meaningful and impactful in the context of the change that I want to create. So at the 11th hour, I withdrew from my psych honours and transferred to another university, which obviously, again, very exciting, but was a whole other layer of to-dos in an already perhaps full and exciting schedule. Now, the reason I share all of this is because I, like you, am not immune from the feels of overwhelm and angst. Yes, I do sometimes get overwhelmed. Yes, I do sometimes feel anxious. And I've got to say, anxiety is probably a bit of a new feeling for me. I can't help feeling that its presence or its appearance has come off the back of some hormonal imbalance and potentially being in the early or the stages of perimenopause, because a lot of what's going on for me in that domain kind of doesn't make a lot of logical sense, I suppose, is probably the way I want to say it. So even though I do
the work that I do, and I support others in dealing with overwhelm and angst, it does not mean I'm not human. It doesn't mean this stuff does not show up for me. I, like many of us, am on my own healing journey, and I can honestly say the road is long, the road is enlightening, it's damn challenging, but it's so freaking rewarding. The last few weeks, with all of this going on, I have had to draw on my toolkit to reground myself when I wake, often in the morning, with what feels like a whirlwind of stuck tension within. And when I sit with this and the call continually from so many of you to learn more about how to progress your own healing journey, I've decided to share with you today the simplest and most powerful lesson I have learned on my journey to healing and how you can potentially use it as a foundation for your healing journey. So let's begin with a journal extract from my journal, something that I wrote this week, to ground us in the power of the theme for today. And the theme is to feel is to heal. So here goes. Tension. You arrive like an old friend. You sit in silence, but with an energy of discomfort. I used to try and avoid you with distractions, busily feeling every moment. But I know now you are here to help me heal, to help me see the shadows that swim beneath my soul and darken my light. When I create the space for you to speak, your message is simple. You have to feel to heal. I listen. I open the door to go within. I drop into my body, notice where you've been hiding, and I say, welcome. You are welcome here, tension. I sit with you. I feel you to your edges. I give you a name, tension, for I know you are a feeling. You are fear. I ask you what you need to feel safe, and you speak. I need love. Love to believe it will be okay. Love to know that it will all work out. Love to know that whatever happens, it will be enough. And you are enough. And in that moment, I speak back. I speak back to fear. And I say, thank you, fear. I promise to practice self-love and self-compassion, even though I find it hard sometimes. I know this is how I return to feeling whole. I will use radical honesty to hold myself to account. I will trust my intuition and the knowing that it will all be okay. I know that when I drop into my body, its wisdom speaks louder than the noise of my head. I tell fear her work here is done. I land back in the present moment with a sense of peace. The tension has dissipated, and I realize my tension is the gateway to healing. To feel is to heal. I've got to say, it is hard sharing stuff that's so personal. Even though I've been doing it for a while now, the more I do this work and the more I dig within, I know I have to share this stuff, but it still makes me feel uncomfortable because it's extremely vulnerable and it's extremely raw. But I do so in the service of supporting you to honor your own journey and honor your own vulnerability and the opportunity that it provides. Oof, all right. So I share this extract to support you in understanding one of the most powerful evidence-backed ways to healing, and that is simply to allow yourself to feel, to allow yourself to get out of your head and into your body, to give yourself permission to pay attention where there is tension in your body. What we resist persists. It doesn't go away. It grows. And over time, unconsciously holds us back from showing up as the human we were born to be, as the human we long to be. It holds us back from feeling whole and from allowing our true essence, that light within, to shine at its brightest. Hey there, let me ask you, are you done with feeling overwhelmed and unsure of where to start when it comes to creating the freedom and flow to work and live on your terms and do it with joy in your heart? You've decided it's time to invest in a coach and fast track the shift you've been longing to make, but it feels like you're stepping into a world of snake oil sellers. I hear you. And you're right, finding a coach that you connect with that actually delivers on their promise can be hard. So many prospective clients tell me how they've been burned and it makes me feel ill. It's for all of these reasons I created a simple free cheat sheet to help you find the right coach for you and get the results that you need when it comes to making this shift. Simply DM me the word coach via Instagram at hackinghappy.co and I will shoot you a copy straight away. And now back to the podcast. So how do you create the space to feel again in a world where so many of us have become so good at suppressing the feelings that don't make us feel comfortable by filling every waking moment? It starts with compassionate inquiry. And you're probably wondering, what is compassionate inquiry? Well, according to the creator of the approach of compassionate inquiry, the amazing Dr. Gabor Maté, if you are not familiar with his work, I have mentioned him many, many times, please go and check him out. He is just like so powerful when it comes to processing your own shit. So according to Dr. Gabor Maté, compassionate inquiry is a psychotherapy approach which reveals what lies beneath the appearance we present to the world. Using compassionate inquiry, especially if you are working with a trained therapist, which is what I'm actually training to become, a compassionate inquiry therapist, we can recognize the unconscious dynamics that run through our lives and liberate ourselves from them. Compassionate inquiry provides an opportunity to practice radical honesty with yourself. It enables you to reconnect to the truth within the present moment, so that you can become free from self-generated suffering and gain insight, clarity, and choice when it comes to your behavior. Sadly, though, we are not taught in any standard education system how to compassionately inquire, how to connect with our feelings, and how to process them. Now, the impact of this for many of us is that we instead learn the opposite. We learn how to suppress and hide our feelings, not only from others, but from ourselves. And the ramifications of doing this long term, in terms of what it does to our health and our happiness, can often be disastrous. We know from the trauma evidence, and there is a shitload of it, I can tell you because I've been reading it, that when we feel hurt, it creates an imprint on our internal system. So when we feel pain, when some experience in our world creates a feeling of pain, it creates an imprint in our internal system, an imprint in our physiology. That unprocessed hurt, when we suppress it and don't speak to anyone about what's going on or recognize it within ourselves, creates a disconnection from the self, a shadow over your life, but the body does not forget, nor does the subconscious. The brain is a pattern recognition machine. And so every time a suppressed feeling is triggered again in everyday life, our brain goes back to how we responded the last time, which is often irrational or maladaptive, and it repeats that behavior. It's like we're on autopilot. It's why Gabor says we are often prisoners of our childhood. What's happening for you in the present moment when you are triggered as an adult is that the wounded child that had that first experience of feeling that way takes over, which leaves you wondering, what the hell just happened and why can't I break this pattern of behavior? Jung Pueblo shares in his beautiful book, which I have been reading at the moment and I could not recommend more highly. The book is called Lighter. He says, before you can set yourself free, you first need to understand how you make things harder for yourself. Many of us do not realize how we get stuck in a reactive loop, always allowing external events to dictate how we feel without fully accepting that our real power emerges from training our mind to observe, to be a witness to what is going on. So knowing what we now know, how can you use the essence of compassionate inquiry on your own to start to heal? So whilst it is a therapeutic approach, there are some beautiful little practices I want to share with you that I use from my experience, from my training in this domain, and find really helpful in the practice of feeling to heal. Learning to feel again is a practice. It will take time. Trust me, I know I'm working on this every day, given my studies in psych and trauma therapy, and I have both good and bad days, as I've shared with you earlier. Be kind to yourself and know that engaging in this practice is progress. Once you start, you are on your way home to you. So let me share with you a couple of simple steps to help you cultivate a practice of feeling to heal. So step one, where there is tension, pay attention. Gabor says this all the time. I freaking love this quote. I use it as a mantra to remind myself to practice feeling. Consciously give yourself permission to stop walking over your body's warning signals and instead create the space to feel rather than suppress again. Disrupt the pattern. I do this first thing in the morning with my journaling practice. Feelings need space, so give it to them. Now, don't get all caught up in the I don't have time for this, I'm too busy. I guarantee you, if you were saying that to yourself, I can honestly tell you that is a sign that you need to cultivate a feeling practice. The more you create the space to feel, the greater clarity you will create in your life, the more grounded you will feel, and the more impactful you will become, because these crappy feelings will not hold you back the way they do when you squash them. Step two, drop in. When you create the space to drop into your body, not your head, because you already spend enough time there, I can guarantee you, my friends, it is unbelievably powerful. A few conscious breaths can really help with this process, in through the nose, out through the mouth. When you're in your body, when you create the space to drop in, ask yourself, with radical honesty, how do I feel? And where do I feel that feeling in my body? What body part is holding that feeling? Allow space. Don't be quick to jump back into your head to get an answer because you want to fix or you want to be an A-grade student in this space. There are no prizes for quick when it comes to feeling. Stay in the body, in the silence, and let the body speak back to you. Notice what you feel, label it, and where in your body you physically feel it. It astounds me the more I step into this practice, how often certain feelings for me sit in my heart or they sit in my gut. And now that's me. I have a lot of clients when I do this work and practice my therapy with them, tension in the shoulders, tension in the neck, tension in the vocal cords, tension in the forehead. It could be anywhere. Find where your feelings sit in your body and just observe. Step three, welcome the feeling. Trust me, this may feel a little weird if you haven't done it before, but it works. Literally say aloud in your head, welcome feeling, whatever the feeling is that you've labeled, welcome it. Tell the feeling, you are welcome here. Let the feeling know. You will sit with it. You will hold the space for it. You will allow yourself to explore it to its edges. Step four, ask the feeling what it needs to feel safe. The reason we so often squash the shit feelings is because our body is trying to protect us from pain. Yet we know the pain is the pathway to healing. So with that in mind, we ask the feeling, what does it need to feel safe? And we sit with our body and listen. Again, do not rush the process. You are likely to be surprised with what comes up. Step five, thank the feeling. Thank the feeling for the insight it has shared with you. What a gift to listen to your body and hold the space for it to speak to you in a way that it has not had the permission to do for perhaps quite some time. Now, the irony of doing this, I find the more I do it, the more I allow the space for the feeling, to sit with the feeling, to listen to what it has to say and to thank it, the more the feeling starts to dissipate. It moves. This process is a process for moving stuck energy, stuck feelings that have not had the space to be able to move in the past. Step six, integrate. Grab a pen and paper and just write down whatever came up. Be a witness, an observer to the experience without judgment. Just observe, integrate, and get it onto paper. There is a magic in writing in terms of how it enables our brain to integrate what's going on. This is a journey, and every reconnection to feelings and processing them is progress when it comes to your healing journey. Step seven, repeat. Make feeling and this process a regular practice. The only way to heal is to feel, and we can only do that when we cultivate a feeling practice and bring that back into our lives, because most of us have created a practice of squashing feelings. We are trying to bring back what is healthy, and it is healthy to process feelings. Trust me, when you do this and you do it on a regular basis, yes, it will be hard. Yes, it will be confronting, but your health and your happiness will thank you for it. When we learn to feel and feel to the edges of our discomfort with compassion and curiosity, we build resilience. We build a reconnection to ourselves and a deeper feeling of fulfillment within our lives. My beautiful friends, if you're ready to heal and shape a future for greater freedom in how you work and live whilst making a meaningful difference in the world, I've got you. Click the link in show notes to book a time for a breakthrough call, and let's have a conversation about how my coaching and programs can support you on your healing journey. Until next time, you beautiful humans, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining me on today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. Reviews are so important to empowering more beautiful humans just like you to lead wholehearted and flourishing lives. If you enjoyed your listen, I'd love if you could take a moment to leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. If there was something that resonated from this conversation, I invite you to take a screenshot and share your thoughts on social media. Tag me in so I can respond. If you've got a friend you feel needs to hear this episode, copy and paste the link and drop them a message now. It might be exactly what they need. Until next time, happiness looks good on you.